One day it's Thursday, August 6, 2026, and this is a week and charts. I just want to thank all you guys and gals for attending. I appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule. You can find the webinar at dailyliner.com/webinar, although there are some issues there. You have to sign up, and then there's another link you have to hit. What are we talking about? Well, obviously, current market conditions, I'll have a tremendous amount to say about that, as I normally do, but this week I really mean it. Your questions on trading, your favorite stock, and crypto picks, you could punch those in now if you want. Just add USD to a crypto, so I know it's crypto. I want to continue with the methodology in action, and lately it hasn't been that great. And believe me, I feel your pain. There's one thing I want to touch upon with Mind the Trade. This is something that I really want to expand outward quite a bit, but I just want to kind of talk about a few things there, and that'll make sense in just 1 second. There's my contact information. We'll circle back to that in 1 second. There's a disclaimer screen. As you know, you can lose money trading. Always offer summing up. All predictions are about the future. And a lot of stuff can happen between now and then. And that's from Greg Morris. Hey, there's my contact information. You can also reach me at dave@davelandry.com. As I've been saying quite a bit, the missing piece for me was seeing someone else trade. And more importantly, the ups, and even more importantly, the downs. And so I try to show you everything, warts and all. It's like, and I'm gonna circle back to this in a few minutes. You're not alone in being alone. Everybody's going through these ups and downs, and the market can humble you quite a bit. That's why whenever I see somebody being cocky about the markets, I know that they're not actual traders, because you will get your buttocks handed to you often. So this was not a mystery chart. Now this is kind of a fortunately, unfortunately situation, however you want to look at it. I guess it's that. My service had a glitch in it on that particular day. Like I said, I've been dealing with all these software issues lately. And I don't know, it could have been user error based on me trying to fix something or whatever. But anyway, this was a recommendation, but it did not go through when it was intended. And then it just kind of imploded from there. But you could see that this stock had been in a really good uptrend. This is Intel. And you can see it started to lose some momentum, and it tried to make new highs. It actually made new highs, but it really didn't break out with a lot of vigor, okay? Now, notice below the bow tie proper order, 10 simple greater than 20 exponential greater than 30 exponential, is green, meaning that 10 is greater than 20, greater than 30 for a long time. Goes to yellow, means they're beginning to meander a little bit, and then goes back to green. Now, even though they're green, you always have to pay attention to the net price movement. And notice that it didn't really go anywhere for a couple of months, even though we're back to green. It did make new highs. That's obviously a good thing, but it didn't follow through. And then it begins to roll over. And you can see the bow ties begin to meander a little bit, and then they eventually cross over to downtrend proper order. Now, it's also a first thrust, which is when a stock makes an all-time highs, has a big thrust lower, and then pulls back. So you're looking to play that first pullback after the big thrust lower. Also, bow ties. I like bow ties off of all-time highs for shorts and major, major lows. Like if this stock would go down and bottom out for a long, long, long time, months and months and months, and maybe even years. Gold stocks will occasionally do that. If you go and look at some really old weekly charts when the gold stocks were coming off of their lows, I'm trying to think of one stock that I don't know if it was gold or not, but there was one or two that came off of lows that ran like a long, 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 long ways. But it was a big, fat, longer term cup and handle or saucer and handle type of pattern. Anyway, so major lows for longs with any type of these transitional patterns, and major highs are ideally all-time highs for shorts. So there's the parameters down below, 96, 115, and 77. So 19 points seems like a lot, but that's what it called for. And when you look at it on the chart, you can see it's only that big on the chart, right? And so that's what you have to wrap your head around. As I often preach, everybody says use tight stops. Well, that's a myth, because I've actually written a few articles about that, the myth of tight stops. Because let's say a stock bounces around like this one here, 5 or 10 or 15 points over a short period of time. If you're within that normal noise, you're going to get stopped out of noise alone. Anyway, IPT was down here. You could see it triggered and then began to slide in earnest. And it was looking pretty good. And last week when I did the show, we were up 1228. Now I say we. In this case, it looks like I'm the only one that ended up the trade based on a glitch. So you got lucky on that. And it did come back and stop us out. Well, it, spelled with a silent SH, happens. And unfortunately, it didn't quite get to that IPT. And it's hard giving up that big of gains, believe me, but it comes with the territory. And eventually, you start to catch a few outliers. And eventually, you get a really good, and I was told not to use the word, but streak, because it's streaky. Momentum trading can be really, really streaky. So here's a new mystery chart, which I'm going to reveal here in 1 second because it triggered this morning. Nice, nice, nice longer term uptrend. Okay. Uptrend proper order, take graded 20, 20 graded 30. Those are the bow tie moving averages. And you can see it stayed green for a while. Now, bow ties have a little lag built in them by design. And that's to keep you from chasing your own tail when a stock is topping out, or trying to bottom fish when a stock is bottoming out, or any other market for that matter. But you can see, even though it was green, it continued to go sideways. So you always want to look at the chart, no matter what your indicator, or as I call them, illustrator, is saying. But then you could see it did begin to lose momentum, and then the bow ties crossed over fairly quickly. Is the Intel one was not as tight as this one. I like them to be as tight as possible, because that suggests that the trend has really turned when they come together and spread out quickly. Now, I don't have it in this chart, but it'd probably be a good idea to put it in your own charts, the 50 simple moving average, because the 50 simple moving average will be coming up like this, and you want those bow ties to just go at them at a sharp angle, and that suggests that the top stock has topped out. Anyway, it flips from uptrend proper order to downtrend proper order fairly quickly, and that completes the bow tie, which suggests a change in trend. And then you look into play the first little pullback afterwards, which you have right here. So here's all the parameters down below. Entries here, stop is up here, initial profit target is down here. Now, this one gap low this morning and triggered, so I'll go ahead and reveal it. That's A10, A-T-E-N. And I'll come back to that one next week. Okay. Last whatever day that was, maybe Friday, I put in a post right on the market open about AXTI as a potential ogre, opening gap reversal. And one of you guys gave me that name, and I forget who. So I'm really bad about not, I need to write these things down. I'm like, oh, I'm going to remember. I never remember. That was years ago. I thought that was pretty good when I was looking for some sort of way to describe an ogre. But anyway, let's start with the daily chart. You can see that this stock, this was one of our prior leaders. We did catch a piece of this one in the trading service on the way up. And then we also had put this one in the Landry 100 way back in time. And I think it closed out at don't quote me on this, but I could double check. You can look at the, I don't know if I have archives just yet for that. But anyway, it closed out from the Landry 100 at least at like a 1300% or something gain. And that's the ultimate goal, is to capture these huge longer term winners with something like the Landry 100. And then ideally, you know, and you're trading, of course, that's the ultimate goal too, is to get in these stocks and ride them for a long, long time. And the tough part is you chip away at it, chip away, like that Intel, you know, of course the short side. Short side sucks. I got to quit saying that because you have to learn how to play both sides of the market. And the reason you have to learn how to play both sides of the market is not so much to make money on the short side when the market is dropping, because that's the only way to make money when the market drops, right? But more so you see both sides of the market, as I've said ad nauseum. My buddies who run lots and lots and lots of money, who are long only oriented, always tend to see the market as glass half full. And I guess you can't fault them for that, because if they weren't at least slightly bullish all the time, they might be tempted to bail out on everything, which, you know, the longer term holdings, I don't know. But it is a little bit of a bias if you could only buy stocks and not short stocks. Because once you get used to seeing stocks that look good as shorts, and you're looking at some stock that you might already be long, and all of a sudden it sets up as a short pattern, you're like, wait a minute, maybe I need a barrel on this stock. Anyway, so there's your gap, nice gap higher. As I've said before, these opening gap reversals, you want a big, well-known stock. It's kind of just the opposite of what you want for your trend trades. Your trend trades, you want highly inefficient stocks like IPOs and sexy areas like biotechnology, semiconductors, and things like that. On the opening gap reversals, you want those stocks to be a little bit on the thinner side. Opening gap reversals, you want a well-known stock. So you have a lot of players that are trapped on one side of the market or the other. And sometimes a stock like this, maybe some institution is stuck in this stock and needs to get out. And this big gap gives them an opportunity to do that. So anyway, you have a gap higher. And with the opening gap reversal, and I'm going to show you, I think, a 1 minute chart in 1 second. Be damn careful if you ever try to trade off a 1 minute chart. And with these opening gap reversals, I'd almost recommend, or I do recommend, at least first, take a look at that daily chart so you don't get caught up in the zigs and zags. So a lot of times you'll get a fake out with these opening gaps. They'll gap and then they'll sell off a little bit, then they'll take off. And then sometimes you get that final move later. And those, I haven't fleshed it out, but those might be probably a little safer to trade, but you're going to miss the first move when it moves and it keeps on moving. Kevin Haggerty, who's no longer with us, great guy. Just don't go drinking with him. It'll hurt the next day. And he's unfazed. I tried to go one for one Guinness with him, and that was a mistake. But, live and learn. Anyway, he told me at the bar that whenever they have a new guy come on board, they only let them take second signals. Okay. And you're going to be more accurate with a second signal because you miss the first fake out if it truly is a fake out. So, and I'm just kind of backing into something here by accident. So maybe that's something, if you're newer to opening gap reversals, maybe you let that fake out shake out first, okay? And then look to take the second signal. The old, what's the old saying? Early bird gets the worm, the second mouse gets the cheese. But anyway, you can see it did gap higher. It sold off fairly nicely. Now, let's take a look at, and again, you got to be really careful if you decide to trade like this. But on a 1 minute chart, you can see it gapped higher and shot higher, came back in, and then it kind of chopped sideways for a little while. So you're thinking like, okay, it's building a little bit of a base in here. If it begins to break down from that base, I'm going to go short. Okay. And I did. And I'll walk you through that. So again, you have the opening gap. Now this is a 5 minute chart. I trade off 30 minute charts on the intraday stuff like this, just to keep me from chasing my own tail. So in this particular case, it did have a gap higher. It traded higher after the gap and then reversed. So at that point, I'm like, okay, it looks like it's breaking down. I shorted 50 here. Now, as I said a minute ago, tight stops seem to be universally preached. But if your stop is too tight, you're going to get knocked out on noise alone. So in this particular case, this stock required 4 points. And I did this in the model account. I only did 50 shares because I didn't want to have a whole lot of risk, but I wanted to show that even if you're trading a small size, something like this, you can do okay. You don't have to bet the farm. You don't need to come in with 1,000 shares and leverage your account to the hilt and risk a whole lot of money on something like an intraday trade, because obviously it could end very badly. But anyway, in this case, it dropped $4. So I had a 4 point stop in place, and this was a trailing stop, and right around 4 points. And I think that when it dropped, I hadn't put my limit order in just yet. And I'm looking at the chart and I'm like, holy moly, I almost have 4 points and it's only been a few minutes. So I went ahead and bailed out on half of those shares. Okay. And then you could see the trailing stop followed the stock down. And these are automated trailing stops, which is a godsend for day trades and for getting out of trades. Let's say you're blessed with a big profit, stock gaps higher, and looks like it's going to keep on going, and your profit target's here and the gap's way up here or whatever. Then you're thinking, okay, it's like, okay, this is a gift horse, but what if I gave it a little wiggle room and continued to trail that stop? You can put an automated trailing stop, especially if that automated trailing stop would be well above your IPT. Okay. So initial profit target, let's say initial profit target is like at 50 and then it gaps to like 55. You might put it in a, like, let's say a 2-point trailing stop intraday and then try to ride that stock out the rest of the day. And if it comes back in, you're still going to do better than you would have at the initial profit target. Just a little way to squeeze out an additional profit. And that's why I use discretion in my own trading like that to try to pull a little bit more money out. Now, I track everything in the service from a mechanical standpoint. And even though nobody other than me got the loss on Intel, hopefully nobody other than me, I would have showed that as a loss here. I just already showed you that loss. Anyway, so stops out for a 4-point profit on the trail. So you made about $100 on the second low. So that's 195. And you're not going to get rich on a trade like this, but if you're keeping your risk in line, if you could pick up a couple $100 on a trade like this, and you know, in my case, I'll do this across more than one account, but in the model account, I like to keep it small and simple so I can say, okay, this is what I did. And I forgot to put the trades in here, but I have the trades posted in my Facebook group. But keep it simple, and you can pick up, and I know it's fuzzy math, but $200 a day is 50 grand a year if you could do that every day. Now, I'm not saying you could do that every day, but I'm just saying it's possible. Now, on the flip side, if you're going to do that annualization game, you got to be really careful that you don't lose $200 a day, because that day trade habit, so to speak, is going to cost you $50,000 a year. And that's something that you have to wrap your head around both ways. And you don't need huge position sizes to do okay. And in fact, you're probably going to trade a lot better if you're keeping the risk in line, because the more risk, the more you're risking, the more pressure you're putting on yourself to perform. And you'll end up living and dying by the sword. Anyway, let's shift gears and talk about the Landry 100. So this is the pie chart. I put this out on Substack. If you are a paid member of Substack, you can get the full list. If you're a gold member or a trading service member of DaveLandry.com, you also get access to the tickers. And I will publish the watch list at least once a week, and then on request I'll be happy to give it to you. By the way, I looked at an old post. Somebody's asked me for my momentum list when I'm doing my culling process. I don't know if I put it out there or not, but I'll be happy to post it in Facebook. When I'm doing my culling process, I go through about 2,000 stocks, and lately it's actually been a little bit more than 2,000 stocks because everything's kind of triggering my loose parameter scans. But from those 2,000 stocks, anything that looks remotely interesting or could set up soon, I copy over to my momentum list. I call it MOMO, just for momentum for short. Now, keep in mind that momentum might be momentum to the downside too. But anyway, I copy that over to that list, and then I go through that list a little bit more slowly. And if there's anything worthwhile, I bring it to the Landry list, copy it to the Landry list, and then I call that down further. And that gives me a set of stocks to watch for the day. So that's how I go through that process. But if you want the momentum list, let me know in Facebook. I'll be happy to publish it there for you. And that's Dave Landry's Trend Traders. Okay, a reoccurring theme is surprises tend to happen in the direction of the trend. So you see here's this morning's surprises. You had a 9% move, an 8% move, and this one was 8.5% to the upside. And so far, knock on wood, since we put it in the Landry 100, it's up 53%, even though notice it's aerospace and defense. Aerospace and defense has been all over the place, as you'll see in a few minutes. This one has had, knock on wood, a pretty good run so far. So that's one of the key features of momentum. And by the way, the reason I'm going to go into a little more detail today on Landry 100 than I normally do, and I did a deep dive a while back, even more details. But the reason I do that every now and then is keeping these momentum lists is really important, okay? Or as the kids now say, important. So you get to see the ebb and the flow. You get to see where the money's flowing in, flowing out. And in cases like recently, it's like I started putting banks in, and a few of them did okay, and a few of them were immediately taken out or taken out shortly thereafter, not immediately, but they didn't follow through the upside. So that's telling me, okay, some of these banks are doing well, but we're not seeing a lot of follow through there. So all this looking at lots and lots of charts, all this empirical research, it's a fancy way of saying looking at a bunch of charts, does give you a feel for what's going on internally. Now, surprises tend to happen in the direction of trends, so tends being the keyword in that sentence. So this one got whacked this morning. So I do want to show you that momentum does get whacked every now and then. So momentum does occasionally end badly. And this is one that was just put in the list a couple days ago, I think, on the 28th. And then you can see it got whacked today. So that'll come out, obviously, by the close today. And the other thing, too, is even if you have a really good trend, like that AXTI, I think that's the one. It was up nearly like 1,800% or 2,000%, or whatever the case may be. And then it stopped out at like 1,300 or 1,400, 1,500%, whatever. So you give up a lot in the end. And that's why I added the 100% move for those that don't make that big move and to kind of dampen out the equity curve. We have a discussion going on in Facebook about somebody was talking about taking profits or not taking profits. And there's always a trade-off, and you can't quantify that statistically. I don't care what anyone says. Markets do not adhere to statistics. Statistics are worthless. 74.3% of all people know that. But markets aren't normally distributed, okay? The amount of outliers that occur in the markets, the amount of so-called fat tails, and everything should be contained in this little area here, and the amount of outliers way out here, occur with way too much frequency. And here's the scary part. I know I'm going off on a tangent, imagine that. But here's the scary part. I think with all the leverage out there, I think with new things coming in, like elimination of the pattern day trader rule, and the fact, I think I should know this, but it seems like because I do have one small account where I've been doing more than one trade in one day. I think everything settles the same day, even if you're not a pattern day trader. So that's scary and kind of cool all at once. And I think that's bringing more and more speculation to the market. Now, one thing you got to wrap your head around is that the charts reflect the market players. And right now, the market players seem a little bit on the crazy side. And we'll get to that in just one second. But that's what you have to do. And keep in mind that the market players changes, okay? So you get people, they get sucked in and spit out, and then you have new people coming in constantly. And so ideally with the charts, it helps you to read the mind of the market. But anyway, so the momentum occasionally does end badly, and all trend trades eventually end badly. So this is left over from last week, but this is the 100% rule. And these are the stocks that so far I've taken out 400% gain. There's that AXTI. I thought it was in here. 1338. And that was much, 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 much higher. Now that was on a 10%, $10,000 hypothetical $10,000 investment. Ledger 100 is not real money. One day it might be. I don't know if I'm ever going to try to pursue that. But you can see in this particular case, 100%, you'd have made $133,000, or let's just say 134. Round numbers, and then if you took profits, you'd only make 72,000, but your equity curve would be a little bit smoother. And there's many cases like these ones up here, like BlackBerry, for instance. And 100% rule is perfect for something like a BlackBerry, because you don't know if these stocks are going to bottle rocket, so to speak, where they just take off, go straight up, and then come right back in. And that's one pattern you got to be careful about. And I talked about that in stock selection courses, a bottle rocket. Because the bottle rocket is like, it takes off like it's going to just go to the moon, and then it just fizzles out. And anyway, you got to be careful of those. And that's one of the reasons I put in 100% move. I was tired of looking at losses from stocks that were up as much as 100%. You know, they get creamed and you give up most of those open profits. So I put in a 100% rule. And unless the stock goes to the moon, okay, the 100% rule works out pretty cool, but in some cases you would dampen your longer term winners with that, but you also dampen your equity curve. Anyway, these are some slides that were supposed to come out of here. Okay, not too long ago, a couple of weeks ago, when things were looking pretty ugly, I did a bear market update or bear market ahead. And one thing that I did talk about, even if you go back then, even though there were a lot of bearish signs, I did talk about the advantage of a 30,000 foot view. And this is a TFM 10% system. And here are your zones. That's a 5% level, and that's a 10% level, minus 10% level. So 52-week closing high would be 0% away from the 50-week closing high. It's 50-week. I get that confused, but it's 50. Everything is 50-week with this system. So when you get 5% or more away from the 50-week closing high, you need to be cautious. And when you get 10% away or more, you need to think about exiting. So the sell signal right now in the piece would be right here at this. I think it's 69, 70 something, or let's just say 6,700, or just under 7,000. I'm sorry, would be your sell right below this pink zone here, this high pink zone. That's the 10% line. Now, what's interesting is now NASDAQ did cross over into that 5% zone, minus 5% zone, as did the Qs, but the S&P 500, which I just noticed this morning, and I was kind of surprised. Even though it felt kind of ugly and looked kind of ugly, it never did cross more than cross into that minus 5% zone. And then obviously on a weekly basis, we're in the process of breaking out. As usual, follow through will be key. Now, when the market gets stretched like this quickly to the upside, I like to pay attention to the VIX. The VIX only matters when it matters, okay? And one thing that I learned from Connors, he talked about how it reverts to the mean. So I took his words literally and developed and co-developed some systems with Larry Connors way back in the day. Now, these were short-term systems, and I was really into short-term systems way back in the day, in the early 90s, I guess, or early to mid-90s. And then I soon kind of morphed into a little bit longer term trader. And one of the problems with the pure short term trading is something bad can still happen. You saw that stock I just showed a few minutes ago down 30 something percent. Okay. So if you're a short term trader, you're not going to capture that 1300% move in something like that AXTI. Okay. But something bad can still happen over the short term. It kind of, I'll show you how little I know about statistics, but it does kind of circle back to that fat tail thing. Black swan type events occur way more often than they should. I had a black swan when I lived in the country. People don't believe me, but I have a picture of it. And the picture that one picture that I have might be from when it was across the street in a neighbor's pond. But back when I lived in the country, I had a black swan land in my pond, and I'm like, wow. Black swans are from Australia, and what's his name? Talib, I think. He wrote about the black swan. And the theory is just because you've never seen a black swan doesn't mean they don't exist. And we had, like I said, one land in my pond, and there was a neighbor up the road who literally had a black swan. And so I'm like, are you missing a swan? He's like, nope, Bob is right here. I'm like, oh, okay. I said, because one landed in my pond. And I asked him, what's the deal? He says, yeah. He goes, one, this Bob or whatever his name was landed in the pond several years ago, and he's been here ever since. So I have no idea where a black swan came from in Louisiana, but it's kind of made a great point. Like, just because you've never seen a black swan doesn't mean they don't exist. So markets do have these occasional so-called black swan events. And by the way, one thing that I wanted to work in today's presentation is anybody re remember, I think his name was Nicholas Leeson or Leeson. He was a rogue trader in Asia, and he was super, le they gave him all the leverage in the world by accident, I'm guessing. And he caused one of the crashes. He was a young punk. What's amazing is history repeats itself, and I just found I don't watch a lot of, at least not financial news. I do get sucked into the what's going on with the world, so I do watch some of that. But I never heard of this guy. So this new guy, I forget his name, but he was another rogue trader, and not quite as big as Nicholas Leeson or whatever his guy's name was, Leeson was, but he still was incredibly over leveraged. I think it was $150 million or something. And he's caused some problems, and that might be some of the volatility we're seeing, especially with these AI stocks and possibly semiconductors and AI supporting stocks. But anyway, the thing is, all it takes is one a-hole to screw up a perfectly good trade, and that comes from Mark Douglas, the late great Mark Douglas. And so that's one of the things that you kind of need to wrap your head around with trading. I don't know, I'm going off on a tangent, but I think it's important. Is that it just takes one guy to come along and screw up your trade, no matter how great your analysis is. And that's a hard thing to wrap your head around, that someone, you have no control over the markets, you have no control over some rogue trader given unlimited leverage, intentionally or not, to muck up your trades. Anyway, getting back to this, believe it or not, I did remember to where I am. When the VIX gets stretched away from the moving average, it tends to revert back to the mean. And then the S&P tends to do just the opposite. So right now we're entering a stretched period, and it's not that stretched. I've seen it much worse than this. But when the closing price gets 10% or more away from that 10-day simple moving average in the VIX, you need to keep an eye out for a reversion to the mean move in the VIX, meaning that the VIX will come back up and touch that moving average. And sometimes, as I learned from Larry Connors, it's like volatility in general tends to overshoot itself when it expands. So in this case, you'll see the market get stretched below that 10 simple, then shoot across it. Now, as I was saying a second ago, I was a big fan of short-term systems because I thought that'd be kind of cool. Get in, and 2 or 3 days later, you got your money and you're out. And then you could just rinse and repeat and do that 100 times a year, 1,000 times a year, and make a ton of money. Well, the problem is, like I said earlier, something bad could still happen over a short period of time. And that's these so-called black swan events. I had a black swan land in my pond once. Now, but anyway, you watch that VIX when it gets stretched. So right now, we're getting a little stretch down here. And that means that the market's getting a little complacent. Okay. It's like all of a sudden the switch has flipped and now we're back in bull mode. Well, that's when people tend to get caught off guard. So down here, this is the close, and the red is the low, the green is the high, and then the white is the open. And the reason I added the open high and the low was so you could see what's happening intraday. Okay. So in this particular case, this is the high here. You can see this big spike in the high. So let's say you're watching that spike up to like 40%. So it's 40% away from its moving average intraday. And you can see by the end of the day, it did begin to implode. So it was possibly a day trade that could have been made there. And that's why I've started experimenting with the open high low close as opposed to just the close. But anyway, as I speak, or when I put this grab this slide a little while ago, we're right around 10, 11% away from that 10-day simple moving average. So keep an eye on that. And on the flip side, like look back here when the market, when you see that spike in the VIX, okay, notice that it wasn't perfect, but the next day that was the bottom in the market. Okay, there's a bit of a panic selling in the market, and you could see the high on the following day. It's hard to get this to line up, but yeah, this begins to implode. The VIX begins to implode, and the market takes off. Okay, so now we're at a juncture where we're due for at least a short-term correction. So I would be careful out there and not get sucked into this little updraft that we're having. So you can see the distance again from the close to the moving average. And I use, and I'll give you these formulas if you want. In fact, if you squint your eyes or do a screen capture, enlarge them, you can get the actual formulas from Telechart that I'm using to give you those percentages. And then I just put a horizontal line at 10% to know when I'm getting stretched. So the VIX only matters when it matters, but make sure you start paying attention now, because now is one of those times where it matters again. Okay, any questions on all that? All right, let's move on. All right, just real quick, and this is something I wanted to flesh out in a lot more detail, but there's so much going on with the market, I figured I'd just focus there. As I've written before, seems I'm not alone in being alone. And that comes from Message in a Bottle. And the thing about trading is, it's a very, very lonely sport, and it can be brutal at times. When it's good, it's good. Like I said, I had that 6 month run. I guess I'll have to find something else to talk about. But we had a 6 month run in a trading service where we only had one loss, and that's unheard of. Okay, that's results not typical, but possible because we did it. But there's a lot, even during that period, it didn't feel great. It was nothing. I wasn't bragging about it when it happened. It's like after it happened, I'm like, wow, that was a good run. But you do feel kind of lonely in this business. And I think it's important to interact with other people, because you're like, is it just me that does these stupid things sometimes? Why can't I, catch these zigs and zags, or why am I the only one being punished? And it was, I don't know the who said it, but I think it was in a book. Dixon Watts had a book, Speculation, The Fine Art of Speculation, and something else. And he says everyone in their heart of hearts thinks that the universe is exceptionally hard on them. And you're not alone in being alone. We're going through some stuff in life. Like I said, my in-laws are not doing so hot right now. Father-in-law, advanced stage Alzheimer's. It's just Alzheimer's. It's just ugly. Call him in the night last night. He was trying to escape. So you think like, oh, we're the only ones going through it. No, other people are going through this too. And it's just you feel like it's just you, but it's everyone's going through their own trials and tribulations. It's like, what's the there's some saying, I wish I knew it off the top of my head, but it's like, be a little kinder than necessary, because you don't know what that person's going through. But anyway, this email came in right before I went live, and it made me feel good. Okay. It's like, so you got a market that's rolling over, and we're getting bow ties, and we're getting close to sell signals, and sectors are imploding and bow tying the downside. And being a good little trend following moron, you're like, okay, here we go. So let's start shorting. And what does the market do? It goes straight back up. Well, market do whatever it wants to do. And we'll find out why down the road. Okay, who knows? Maybe a big hedge fund got short and got squeezed. Who knows? But anyway, I just this made me feel normal. And this is from a client that has been with me forever. And he and I were actually providing research for the same person many, many years ago. And we got to know each other back then. And I went off and did the trading service, and he was kind enough to subscribe to me. So that's been exciting that he's been with me this long. Somebody that I really, really respect. And for him to say this makes me feel more normal. You're not alone in being alone, right? Have you ever seen a market as manic as this one? Manic, affected with, related to, characterized by, resulting from mania. And mania is excitement manifested by mental and physical hyperactivity, disorganization of behavior, and elevation of mood, and excessive or unreasonable enthusiasm. So this crazy market we just went through, this is not normal, okay? But expect the unexpected, right? And I think, unless we see follow through, and that's why I'm a big fan of follow through, right? But I think for now it has a feel of short panic covering. And we'll find out. Okay. Any questions or thoughts on all that? I'm going to shift gears real quick to crypto. I doubt if there's going to be anything to take a look at there. One of the issues I've been touching upon lately is that of course, the market just melted up. So maybe that's no longer an issue, but it seemed like speculation, the bloom is off the rose of speculation. SpaceX making brand new lows. Anyone's ever bought it? when it was making new lows, obviously, is at a loss. Even those who got a pre-market is at a loss. Bitcoin was diving down, so it just seems like money was flowing away from these speculative things all of a sudden. And I did a lot of fat lady type of singing things. But Bitcoin is sideways at best. I wouldn't rush out and bottom fish here. Let it do its deal and let it base out forever. The cool thing about crypto used to be was you had a bull bear cycle every bear. My coon ass slipped out. You had a bull bear cycle every few weeks, and it was wonderful. And then you could just come in here, like I've said, ad nauseum, and buy the ones that are going straight up. Now, I wouldn't, that one's a little crazy, but that's an example of what could happen. I mean, that's up 90% today. But if they're a little bit more liquid and Bitcoin's doing well, and I haven't done any crypto trades in a while, as I've been saying quite a bit, sometimes you can just come in here and buy the ones that are going up. Like this one's breaking out. I don't know if it's super thin or not, but this might be a play, what I call a relative strength play, where you're just buying the strong ones. And when I do that, I'm just using a 20% initial profit target because these things can move like crazy. But looks like I'm gonna have to start paying attention again. Like this one here, for instance. Now this is a little bit different than the core methodology, but like I said, sometimes you can just come in here and play these breakouts when ideally when Bitcoin is doing well. Bitcoin's kind of your bellwether. People get excited about Bitcoin and then go after some of these altcoins, okay? Or SH coins, as they call them. All right, any questions on all that? All right, let's shift gears and get into stocks. All right, let's take a look at the S&P. So here's the P's coming back in a little bit. We just had this melt up, okay, just kind of out of nowhere, out of the blue. I mean, look right here. This was last, what, Wednesday? We closed at multi-month lows. And it was not looking pretty. The bow ties were in the process of flipping over to downtrend proper order. 10 was less than 20, but 20 was still above the 30. Okay, so not quite downtrend proper order. And the market was well below the 50 simple. And then out of the blue, it just went straight up. Okay. Well, it's a little, what's a good way of saying this? That's kind of an extreme move to where it's really stretched. So we need to pay attention to this about 7,600. If we come back below that, then all bets are off. Ideally, you want to see the market stay up here, consolidate a little bit, maybe have a bull flag, just pull back a little bit and not stall out too much. But you really don't want to see it sell off too hard because if it does, that would suggest that the rally was mostly short covering, which is kind of feels like. And those shorts might just pile back on. But for now, so far we've broken out. Nasdaq Composite, a little bit different story. It stalled well short of its prior high. So doesn't look nearly as good as the P's do. So this is a little concerning here. You know me, I'm not going to get too excited until unless I can get to all-time highs and stay there, okay? Rusty 2000 did break out to all-time highs, at least on a closing basis, a couple days ago. I guess it was on Tuesday. But then you can see it's since pulling back in a little bit. And you don't want to see it, again, take off and come right back in. It has that kind of aforementioned bottle rocket type of look to it. As I've been saying quite a bit, a lot of these sectors that were on fire have fairly recently imploded, like DRAM. Semiconductors overall have recently rolled over. Look at this nice sell-off out of the bow tie, right? And we caught that in Intel, and then it caught us, or caught me at least. But you can see so far it's just pulling back a little bit, still below that 50 simple. I certainly wouldn't rush out and buy this market just yet. I would love for this market to go straight up, okay? Semiconductors and the overall market for that matter. Much easier to trade a bull market than a bear market. Here's a SpaceX you can see. It's flirting around those all-time lows. So the pre-market price was 135. So you're down 20-30% if you got it pre-market. Some of these areas, like cybersecurity, recently broke out, but now they're kind of coming back in below the breakout levels and kind of all over the place. Defense probing brand new highs today, but look how wide and loose and all over the place that is. So make sure you pick your spots carefully here. I think there was one from the Landry list we just looked at a second ago. Not the Landry list, Landry 100. That was doing well, but do pick your spots carefully. It's a little wide and loose, and if it comes right back in after just breaking out, that would be concerning. Banks are doing okay. They had a little bit of a head and shoulder top look to them, but now they're coming right back in after hitting brand new highs. So it's hard for me to get excited about banks anyway, and I'm really kind of a show me type of person or show me attitude here. And if it comes back any further, then the net price move will be kind of small. Insurance, though, is areas hard to get excited about, but it has been doing okay. But you can see now on a net basis, it has lost steam. Now, as long as new leaders emerge, that would be fantastic. The refineries have been doing well, but now they've begun to pull back. They still look okay longer term, but additional weakness here would be of concern. All service stocks have been kind of questionable at best. You can see they rallied back up to the 50. So that's looking questionable. Transports stalling shy of the prior highs. So even though the indices sort of took off, especially the P's, not so much the NASDAQ, as far as making new highs, when you dig within, it's kind of hard to get too excited, at least at this juncture, unless a lot of new leaders begin to emerge. So you can see major drugs broke out the brand new highs, but then came right back in. As usual, follow through is key. So they're kind of all over the place. Quantum computing, another one of those hot areas that recently rolled over. Big retrace back up to 50. This stock, or this ETF and sector, still looks like it could be in trouble. Financials look pretty good. When you back the chart out a little, you can see we did clear that prior peak in here. So keep an eye on that. If we come back below that, that would be of concern. There's just not a lot to get excited about at this juncture. And take a look at bonds. Bonds remain in a pretty serious downtrend. I don't know if stocks can rally without bonds forever, but it's definitely something to pay attention to. There's always something to worry about, but it's not like this market's firing on all eight cylinders, okay? But you can see bonds selling up fairly hard. They recently just hit multi-year lows, so that's looking kind of ugly. Let's take a look at like a monthly here. I haven't done that in a while. I know you want to party with me. Yeah, I mean, we're at the lowest level since this ETF began way back in 2000. So that's, or 2000-ish, that's kind of ugly. But, you know, maybe we'll go down there and bottom out for a while. So here, this will be a prime example of when you want to trade a bow tie. So bonds go down and bottom out for months and months, or weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks, and ideally months and months, or even longer, or 2 years. And then you see that bow tie coming off the lows. That would be the time to buy bonds. Now, right now is not that time. EVA shares recently broke out. They're kind of hanging in there. They broke out before us, or banged out all-time highs a little bit before us. So that's kind of cool. Rest of the world seems to be doing okay. Watch the breakout levels. Let's just say 106 round numbers. Like everything else, if that comes back in, that would be of concern. I think that's pretty much it with the sectors. Again, it's very mixed out there. Any individual stocks you guys would take a look at, I'd be happy to do that now. Okay. Well, while we're at an impasse, I'd like to thank everybody for attending today. I appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule. I say this every week, but I promise I'm going to make it easy to find a show. Worst case scenario, you can shoot me an email, and I'll make sure you get the proper links to that. Yeah, software glitch screws me up, and then it's like, eh, whatever. You know, I'm bad enough as it is getting these things out. But anyway, Thursdays at 11 Central Time, Central Daylight Time at this point. All right, going once, going twice. obviously, I want to thank everybody for attending again. Any unanswered questions, Dave at DaveLandry.com. I think I'll see most of you guys and girls that are here today and Facebook in a little while. Everybody else, have a great weekend, and may the trend be with you. Thank you. You're welcome.